Blog Talk Radio.
Sabbath on last evening, and that you are eating richly from the word of the Most High and getting the prescribed rest as directed by the Sabbath. This is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For truly our Elohim knows that if we were left to our own devices, if we were left to the devices of man, that we would be busy 7 days a week. And so he has ordained that the Sabbath we should keep one day, and it should be dedicated to him. On last evening, yesterday, we talked about Good grief, had a brain dump. Give me a hot second here. I can't believe my mind just did that. But we just had—I just had a brain dump, and we talked about the laying on of hands. And in that doctrine, we learned that there are a few reasons to lay hands on that are required to receive the Holy Spirit, to transfer of power and authority, to witness against the guilty, to heal. And from Torah, they were required to lay hands on so that they could be joined to their sacrifice, whether it was a peace offering or whether it was a sin offering. The animal that was dying, they laid their hands on the head of that animal, and their sins transferred to that animal. And so on to this morning, we're going to start getting into the resurrection from the dead. And we're talking about the doctrines of Christ, the things that he taught and what he reinforced. And so a lot of the times, you know, we have to go back and look at what was the understanding before Messiah and what is the understanding after Messiah, what we should have now. And, you know, what I'm finding in all of this, modern-day Christianity wants to disregard, for the most part, those things that are in Torah, in the prophets, in the Pentateuch, the things that are in Old Testament, in other words. And they want to go strictly by what's in the New. And when we do that, we lose an understanding of where the Most High stands on a lot of matters and what the understanding of the people were. Now, in this also, understand that men didn't always have a real or a true understanding. It was the prophet that, you know, the Most High showed where he stood at on a matter and what he allowed them to speak on. There is out there a document that people are using, you know, if you're traditional, from traditional Judaism, then Orthodox Judaism, then you're looking at the Talmud. And the Talmud is the discussions about the scriptures from the different rabbis. And the problem that I have with the Talmud, and Messiah had a problem with it, but the problem I have with it is from the very beginning, the rabbis weren't required to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. The Most High didn't fill them with his Spirit. And it was not a requirement. And so we have what the scriptures call a carnal discussion of the scriptures. And a lot of people are using it for a lot of different things, the Talmud and the Kabbalah as authoritative documents. But when we read the scriptures, the Most High says, you know, that all knowledge comes from him, and the understanding of that knowledge has to come from him. And when we are trying to understand him from the standpoint of the carnal, we cannot. And so there's a lot of things that Messiah came against in their understanding, in their traditions, that, you know, is taken as, yeah, this is the gospel. And putting it in a way as a play on words, this is the unmitigated truth, when in fact it was not. And so the scriptures themselves are the truth, and, you know, men's discussions of the scriptures and what they're getting out of it, that's a whole nother thing. And so because you study the law, if you became a student of the law and you studied it out, if you don't ever receive the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, it is just impossible to come to truth. You can come to some level of truth, but not really the complete truth or the whole truth in the way that the Most High wants it to be seen, because the carnal mind cannot digest it or understand it the way that the Most High wants it seen. So as I was, you know, have been looking into these different things, we need to look at what was some of the understanding prior to Messiah. And then even some things that are taught in the scriptures, examples that Messiah uses that people are using as doctrine. They are examples meant to teach a story and not necessarily the way things are, such as, you know, the man that died and went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man that died, the poor man that died and went to Abraham's bosom, and then the rich man that died and went, you know, into the lake of fire or went into hell. Those were examples, and not necessarily speaking that the people in hell can talk to the people who are in heaven, because there's nobody in heaven except for the Son of Man right now, except for the, you know, Messiah, as far as human beings go. Nobody has gone into heaven. And so it's not until after the judgment. Let me just say this and we'll move forward on this lesson this morning. Nobody is going into heaven. Heaven is coming to the earth. Messiah said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then when I come back, I will receive you. That where I am, there shall you be. Well, if he comes back here and he receives us, he's not receiving us in heaven. Not in outside of this creation. Not in the one that is, you know, above the firmament, outside the firmament, where he resides at. He's receiving us on the earth. And so we have to understand that and understand this doctrine in order for us to, you know, have a realistic expectation. This is what's going to happen. This is where I'm going. This is where paradise is going to be. And we are waiting on his return. Okay? We do not physically or spiritually, except for, you know, in visions, go into the heavens. The heaven of heavens. And it's nowhere, you know, even taught that in the scriptures. It's certain verses that people are taking and, you know, this is man's desire. But the real issue is here. The real issue is death. The real issue, that's the real issue that people are having, you know, a problem with. We are born, and then we know that there's a day appointed that we will die. What happens after that? That's the real issue. I don't even really think, you know, if a lot of people, I don't think people would really even have a problem if they understood that you're going to be resurrected and spend eternity here. And the earth is going to be restored to be the way it was originally intended to be. Man is going to be restored to be the way the Most High originally intended man to be. And it's going to be right here on earth. But we get to travel throughout this universe. The planets and everything else are opened up to us. And we're given a body that can't die. And we can travel. We don't need to return to the earth. We can survive on Mars without taking some Earth with us. We can survive on Jupiter without taking some Earth with us. We can survive in a whole different solar system, a whole another galaxy, without taking any of the Earth with us, because we're not bound by the physical things of this Earth. And so, you know, what the Most High is promising us, to those that overcome, is far greater than most people can imagine. And so we got to know that, but we're not going into the heaven of heavens. That's outside this creation. We were created for this creation and the heavens in this creation. But where the Most High resides at, he is extending that kingdom into this physical world. and he wants to experience his creation through us. And so we are not going there. He's coming here. And so we really need to understand that. And this has always been a argument of contention, even amongst the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so we're going to read what, you know, what their belief was. Each of those groups who studied the law, who came up with the Talmud, who had these, you know, debates, and what their understandings were, and then what, you know, Messiah himself says concerning this, because this is, you know, that is truly what this is all about. What does Messiah come and reveal concerning the resurrection from the dead? You know, the scriptures say, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then we should be miserable. And we should go about to get as much happiness, as much joy out of the days that we're given on this planet, because then when we die, there is nothing else. And this was a train of thought, a school of thought, you know, in Torah, because, you know, we'll read these scriptures and, you know, sort of get the mindset. And then what Messiah himself says. All right, with that being said, may have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. And say happy Sabbath to you all. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I do want to take the time on this morning to acknowledge our listeners in the foreign lands that we are being broadcast to, and who are consistently listening to the broadcast and downloading them. So to our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and in Belgium, in Canada, in Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Thailand, the United Kingdom, the United States of America, and Vietnam. In the United States of America, we live here, so, and Vietnam. We greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior. Let us do our statement of faith. We pray that Yah blesses each and every one of you in those countries. If you require his protection to keep your faith, we pray that the Most High always encamps his angels around you, that they are assigned to keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, and that you are given the opportunity to share this gospel with your friends, with your relatives, as Yah sees fit. Because the gospel, this gospel is for every living soul, but every living soul cannot hear it or believe it. And so as many as Yah shall call, whomever he will give this to, we pray that whoever you tell, that they are accepting of it, and that they come into the truth of the faith, that we serve an awesome Elohim, an awesome God, and there is none like him. And none can offer what he offers to us. And so I pray your strength in the Most High. And I pray each and every person's strength in the Most High, that we are able to walk upright in truth and in spirit. So may all the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High. And if you are in the far east, turn to the west toward Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim our power, a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you on first morning, Father. We thank you on today. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And this is a day that you have declared that we should worship and honor you in your Father. And we hear your voice, and we obey you. And we thank you for your direction. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you for your judgment. Hallelujah. For to set us on the right path, Father, and allow us to walk in and according to your will, which is righteous and just. And Father, we just want to be your children. So we thank you, Father, for giving us a mind to love and adore you, to obey, hallelujah, to obey your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. And Father, so we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And Father, this will be our testimony. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people Israel. Deliver us from the captivities that you have placed us in by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. Return us to our homeland. And Father, we will be so careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for all those that you call in Mashiach, that they might hear your voice, come and obey, and walk in your ways. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work, and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication, in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. Thine eyes, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Now, we are still in the discipleship series, and we need the sound of shofar on this morning.
out your blessing upon me. Never thought I'd find a love so real. Never thought I'd find a love so true. Never thought I'd find a love so pure. I found it all in you.
Doctrine of Christ, the resurrection from the dead. We want to be sure to go over real quick the foundations of discipleship. Number one, that you got to seek first the kingdom of the Most High. Number two, you got to seek it with your whole heart. Number three, the kingdom must be the most valuable thing in your life. Number four, You cannot have anybody or anything in your life more that you love more than you, not even yourself, that you love more than the Most High and Messiah. If you love anybody or anything more than you love them, he says that you cannot be his disciple. If you are not prepared to take up your cross, whatever it is that he gives you to do, if you're not willing to take it up, he says that you are not, you cannot be his disciple. And the last thing, if we are not willing to give up everything that we obtain in this world for him, then we cannot be his disciple. So those are the requirements to be his disciple. And he says you need to consider the cost. What is this going to cost me? And am I willing to do it? And if you're not willing to do it, if you're not willing to give your all, if you're not willing to make him the most important thing in your life, most important person, if you're not willing to search him out and seek his kingdom with your whole heart, if you're not willing to make him the most valuable thing in your life, then he's saying you just shouldn't come, because this is what he requires. Okay. So this is what the word is teaching us. This is what Messiah himself said. If we aren't willing to do these things, we cannot be his disciples. And so we have to want these things with our whole heart. Moving on to this morning's precept, the resurrection from the dead. All right, and I want to start this in the Old Testament. And let me get down to my notes. Start in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. And we're going to get verse 2. Verses 1 and 2. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The resurrection from the dead. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. The book is the Lamb's book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now this shame is and everlasting contempt is to be into the lake of fire, to be thrown into the lake of the second death. So we have a prophecy here and a promise that there's going to come a day when the children of Israel will come up under attack again. And at this time, not just like in 70 AD when Israel was destroyed as a nation and scattered to the nations, because the dead did not come back to life then. The dead didn't come up out of the grave. So it's not talking about that time period. This is talking about a time period that Israel has been scattered into all the nations. And it's going to come a time of trouble again. And people are going to be looking for the true people of the Most High. They're not going to be looking for them because they have been revealed who they are. There was a certain act of hiding us in slavery, a certain act that caused us and part of the world to forget who we were as a people, and we were scattered amongst the nations. But it's going to come a time, because the most awakened Israel, those that have been scattered throughout all the nations, those that are the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the world is going to come against them because they don't really want the people of Israel to really be the true people of Israel, to be a nation. They don't want the Most High to rule on the earth. No matter what we might hear them saying, even in Christianity, It's hard for me to believe that a Christian could go against a brother or a sister who say they believe in the same Messiah, but yet instill their prejudice against, you know, that people, mainly us, the people that are Most High. We are still disregarded in every land that we're in. We are marginalized in every land that we're in. And so there's coming a time called Jacob's Trouble where they're going to come against the people of the Most High again. Trouble has never been seen before. A persecution like none other before. And if Israel is not ready, those of Israel that are not ready, they're going to be consumed in this thing. But if you are ready and you are looking for Messiah and you are in truth with him, then you're going to be delivered out of this persecution. All those that are found in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be delivered. Okay? Not just because you're Israel, but because you have to also be in the Lamb's Book of Life, because you can be Israel and be still in disobedience. Still asleep, never woke up. Most High never woke you, or he tried to wake you and you wouldn't wake up. Okay, but if you are in disobedience, not keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, then you're not going to make it. Your name's not going to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay. So at the time of 70 AD, when the world came against Israel to destroy Israel at that time, the dead did not get up. So when we read verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everybody's going to be resurrected when this day comes, according to the scriptures. Everybody's going to be resurrected, some to everlasting life. That means life with no pain, life with no sickness, no hunger, no war, and some to everlasting contempt. That means the shame of them living in sin and the consequences thereof, being thrown into the lake. Okay, so this is a promise from the scriptures, from the prophets, that this day is coming. Okay, now, our forefathers knew this, and they looked forward to this day, but not all of them believe this, just like today. Not everybody believes that there is a resurrection. Not everybody believes that, you know, Messiah is coming back. Not everybody believes that who the people of the book are, who the prophecies apply to, because you can't really get the truth of the prophecies if you don't even know who they really apply to. So it's like reading a book, and you think it's about one person, and at the end they show you, throw you a twist and show you that, no, the whole time we weren't talking about them, we were talking about this person. That is the way the scriptures are written. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's talking about death, okay? And we want to discuss death for a minute as part of this discussion, because this is what you're supposed to be being resurrected from. And what does the scripture say concerning death? Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And let's just start in verse 1. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, starting in verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart. And the book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. And he has, you know, he had the money, he had the wealth, he had the power, the opportunity to do whatever he wanted to on this earth. And this is what we got to understand about Solomon. And you know, he had wisdom. And he still messed up, but at the end, he came, you know, to his senses and said, hey, the book of Ecclesiastes is the sum of what he came to understand in life. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of Elohim. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifice and to him that sacrifice not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears as he that fears an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. This is the one event for everybody. Whether you're good or whether you're bad, death is coming for us all. Okay? Let's continue. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing at all, know not anything at all. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And so we know, you know, besides your loved ones, and this is what a lot of people want to be famous for, they want to become famous so people remember them after death, that their name is talked about after death. And for some of them, they achieve a certain margin of that. Their loved ones remember them as long as they're alive. If they did something historical and it was written down, then they are remembered in that way. But the truth of the matter is, if you are remembered at all, you're going to be remembered for what people wrote about you. And then only if people read it are you remembered. So the statement is saying that, you know, for the memory of them is forgotten, is the truth. Even amongst your own family, unless you think about your mother or father that has passed, when are they thought about? Who's going to think about you when you pass, that you are even here? This is the vanity of life, that we are born, we live, and we die. And some of us want to be remembered, you know, that we were here. Some of us care less. But the scriptures are telling us that, you know, this has always been, a concern amongst men. Okay, and Solomon is, you know, summing this thing up. Also, their love and their hatred, their envy is now perished. Once you die, you can't love anymore. You can't envy anybody anymore. All of that is what? Gone. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. So if there is no resurrection, and this is what Solomon's talking about, because once you die, if there is no resurrection, this is the end of it. There's nothing. You have no portion under the sun anymore. That's why, you know, certain religions come up with the philosophy that, you know, you are born again in another life, that you come back, you know, as you can come back as a cow, you can come back as an insect, you can come back as another person. You know, because men want to know that, hey, this is not the end. And so they have these different philosophies that, hey, you come and you're born into this world and you are striving for perfection and you die. And if you don't achieve perfection, then you're born again into this world until you get it right and you can move on to the next plane of existence. You know, just different types of philosophies trying to deal with this matter of death and finality. Is this all there is? Okay. Verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for Elohim now accepts thy works. Let thy garment be always white, and thy head let lack no ointment. And this is speaking more so to, you know, being unspotted in the world, being, not an evil person, not having your garment soiled, but white. and thy head with ointment, meaning that you are doing well. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he has given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. So if you are a man or a woman, what Solomon is really saying here, enjoy the person that you're with all the days of your life and be happy with them and make the best out of it, because when you die, there is nothing else. All of that ceases. You don't get the chance to love anymore. You don't get the chance to be sensual with your partner or affectionate. You don't get the chance to argue over, you know, silly things and make up. All of that stuff is gone. Okay, you don't get the chance to look at your children and say, I love you anymore. They can't look at you and say, I love you anymore. Eat thy bread and drink thy wine and be joyful. Okay, because once you die, everything is over. This is the mentality. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Okay. So he's painting a picture that in death, everything ceases. You don't know anything. You don't get to do anything. It is done. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah. Actually, let's go to Job. I wanted to do this in a certain order. All right, I'm sorry. Let's go to Psalm chapter 89, the book of Psalm chapter 89. The book of Psalms chapter 89. And we're going to start somewhere right around verse 45, somewhere in there. We get down here, Psalm 89. And we're going to be getting verse 48. Psalm 89, verses 47 and 48. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Our time on this earth is but a short time, 120 years, when the earth has been here since the creation of this universe. And whether you believe that is 6,000 years or whether you believe that is billions of years, it's been here. Man, each man upon it at one time, Adam and all men had eternity. They did not, you know, there was no death. And they were eternal like the earth. But then death entered in. And over time, man's lifespan decreased to even now, you know, if somebody lives to be 100 years old, that is a great mark. Most men and women today live to be 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. And most of them don't even reach that. The vast majority of people don't reach that age. And so our time here is very short. And tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. What man is it that he liveth and shall not see death? As far as we know today, every man's going to see death. Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Shall the Most High? So this is something that, you know, again, is a grave concern to mankind. We live here. We're here but a short time. And then we die. And so we are trying to rush and try to, you know, fit. If we have a plan for our life, most of us don't even have a plan for our life. We're just going day to day. But if we had a plan for our life, then we're trying to rush and get everything in that we wanted to accomplish. And, you know, because we know that there's a day coming that we're going to be gathered to our fathers, to our ancestors. And that's a short time. It's a blink of an eye. If everybody listening right now, if you would close your eyes and remember back when you were 5 or 6 years old, 9 or 10, that was just like it was yesterday. And you can't go, you know, in the thought, in the blink of an eye, you can be back at 5 or 6, 9 or 10 years old. And but the years that have gone by is like a blink of an eye. And sometimes I know that we wish that we could go to sleep and wake up another age, back when we were this age. But when we were that age, we were wishing that we could be an older age and what have you. But our lives are but a blink, a short time. Okay, and so this is a topic that man has always, been troubled by. That I'm born, I live, and I die. And some of us, you know, we're trying to accomplish certain things, and we may die before we accomplish them. Some of us, we accomplish exactly what we sought for in our lives, and we are content. But the truth of the matter is, what we should really be measuring ourselves by, are we going to make it into the Most High's eternal kingdom in peace? Or are we going to be raised in contempt? So are we going to be raised to everlasting life, which is in peace with the Most High, and live forever with him? Or are we going to be raised in everlasting contempt, to everlasting punishment? Okay. Psalms 115, the book of Psalms 115. And let's get verse 17. Psalm 115. And we're gonna read, let's start in verse 1. Let's read verse 1 through 17. Because it's painting a picture for us. Not unto us, O Yah, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their Elohim? Now this is speaking toward us having faith in the Most High. And then we're not in the place that the Most High wants us to be in. And it would appear that things have failed. Because, you know, he tells us in Ezekiel chapter 20 that we profane his name because we are not in the place where we're supposed to be in our land. Mankind has failed the Most High because they sinned in the garden and got kicked out of the garden. And so the world... it's not the way the Most High intended to be from the beginning, but it will be the way he intended to be at the end. But the glory should, for everything should we go to him for his mercy and his truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is Elohim? Where is God? Where is your God at? Where is your higher power? Where is the one that you believe in? I thought he said this. I thought he said that. This is what he's talking about. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands, the work of men's hands. You know, if you can make something with your hand and call it a god and bow down and worship it, then you're really just worshiping the works of your hands. And as far as your life goes, you have given this thing power in your life, but this thing really has no power at all. And today, you know, men create idols, but they don't carve them and make them out of silver and gold, except for if they're after riches. Where do they make their idols at? In their minds. If my God will be like this, and my God will be like that. If God was like this, or if God was like that, then this is what they create God in their mind. And they worship the God of their mind. But the God that has had the book written so that we might know him there are things that they don't agree with. And I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't worship and couldn't worship a God that will do X, Y, or Z. If he's not all loving and not all kind and all merciful and all gracious, I can't love him. If he would kill somebody, I can't love him. Then they're making up a God in their own mind. Okay? So their idols, whether they created out of silver and gold or they created in their mind, the works of men's hands or the works of men's minds. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. You know, when you carve an idol out of silver or gold, you're going to give it eyes and a mouth, a nose, you're going to give it a body. But those things are non-functioning. That idol does nothing. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So it is everyone that trusts in them. You know, those people who, you know, have made these idols and set them up in temples and gotten people to believe that this is God and yada, 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 you know, they're trusting in this man-made object. And this was the problem with Abraham and his father. Abraham's father made idols and sold them to people. And Abraham questioned, hey, how can this be God if you're making it and selling it to people? That's how he was introduced to the Most High. He asked the question, how can what my father makes be a God if he's making it with his hands? And the true and living Elohim answered him. And this is something that, you know, we all have to come to terms with. And sometimes we never really ask the Most High to reveal himself as the true and living Elohim that does have eyes and a mouth and ears and can speak and see and walk and do things. The one that created everything. O Israel, trust thou in Yah. He is their helper and their shield. O house of Aaron, the priesthood, trust in Yah. He is their helper and their shield. Yea, you that fear Yah, trust in Yah. He is their help and their shield. And Yah has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear Yah, both small and great. He will bless those that fear him. And we read this all over the place. And people, you know, they want an Elohim, a God that they don't have to fear. They want a friend. And the Most High is saying, hey, I'm not your friend. I'm your God. I'm your creator. And you don't just approach me any kind of way. You don't come and just say to me whatever you want to say. You don't come in my presence in just any kind of way. You must come in respect. And you must come in reverence. And you must come in fear. Because believe it or not, I will smack you down. I will kill you for approaching me the wrong way. No, they don't want a God like that. They don't want a God that they have to fear. And Yah shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of Yah, which made heaven and earth. And the heaven and even the heavens are Yah's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. This is what he has given to us. The heaven and the heavens are his. But the earth hath he given to the children of men, his creation. The dead praise not Yah, neither any that go down into silence. So the dead don't praise anymore. They don't, you know, they're not in the grave singing hallelujah and glory to you, O Yah Elohim, and all honor and glory belong to you forever and ever. They're not doing that stuff. They are silent in the grave. And if there is no resurrection, then when you go into the grave, your praise and your worship stops there. And so you should worship the Most High every day with all that you have. Give him praise and glory and honor. Acknowledge him in all that you do every day. If you can't do it in this short span, this short time that you have on this earth, what makes you think that you're going to ever want to do it for eternity? If you got a problem praising him for 2 minutes a day, what makes you think that you're going to be able to praise him for years upon years in eternity? Because when you die in this life, even in this life, all of that comes to an end. You go into that grave, you know, people thinking that they're going into the grave and their body is going into the grave, but their spirit is going someplace else. No, your spirit ain't going no place else. It's going to sleep unless somebody wakes you up. And we know that there is the practice of necromancy, the practice of waking up the dead. There are people who study those things and who are on the enemy side that they want to wake the dead. They have available to them dark knowledge. And they will wake the dead. And you can do that. But you're supposed to be asleep. And so you don't get to praise the Most High anymore. Let's go to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. And we're going to get verses 1 through 4. Psalms 146, verses 1 through 4. Praise ye Yah. Praise Yah, O my soul. While I live, I will praise Yah. Now, why is he saying this in this manner? Because their understanding at this time, and it still is today, they don't really know whether there's a resurrection. Messiah has not come. And while he has breath in his body, he will praise the Most High. And you and I, out of faith, we believe. But through our faith, we shouldn't let our faith stop us from what? Praising him and worshiping him and giving him glory. I will sing praises unto my Elohim while I have any being, while I'm capable with this mouth and these lips, with these hands and these feet, with this mind to praise him. While I have been, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Don't look to other men for your help, as though they can deliver you from death, as though they can keep that final day from coming upon you. They can, through medicine and through science, help you extend your life a little bit if you get some type of disease. But ultimately, this day is coming. Verse 4. His breath goes forth. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. The day that you die, your thoughts perish. We got people saying they had near-death experiences, and then they were traveling through a tunnel, and they went and they met the Most High. They met Yeshua HaMashiach. And they come back and tell these stories. But the scriptures are saying, hey, those things, you know, while they are in the dying process, who knows where their mind is going? Who knows what the mind goes through as it begins to die? It is probably sitting there struggling, trying to hold on to life, trying to find some place to go because it knows that its end is coming. So let me travel into the heavens and meet Mashiach. Let me go through the light. But we are taught that there are no thoughts. There is no more praise. Messiah himself says nobody has ascended up into the heavens except for he that came down from heaven. And so when we start looking deeper into this resurrection thing, we have to look and see, where are the dead coming from? Are they coming from being with him in the heavens? So here's what each person has to ask themselves. If we die and we go to heaven, why should we ever want to return here and live on this earth? Think about that. If when you die, you leave here and you go into heaven and you are with Messiah, why would you want to leave heaven and return to the earth and get resurrected into a new body that can't die, but it's here on the earth? And you tasted heaven. You tasted those pearly gates and those golden streets made out of clear gold and the trees that are aligning the banks of the river that is flowing from the throne of the Most High. And you have no more pain, no more sickness, no more hunger. Totally at peace. Nobody's fighting with anybody. Why would you want to be awakened and brought back here? The truth of the matter is, all of that is supposed to be here. We never saw it in the heavens. We never go to experience that in the heavens, in the heaven of heavens. He says he made this environment for us. He's coming back. Why? To establish take his throne, because we're supposed to be establishing the kingdom on the earth. To take his throne on the earth in the environment that he created for us. So think about that. You die. You go to heaven or hell according to what the beliefs are today. You go into the heaven. Why? If you have experienced perfection in the presence of the Most High, in the presence of your Messiah, why would you ever want to come back here? Think about that. Because this is what is being taught in the scriptures. You come in here. You're being resurrected here. We'll get into that in more detail. But you're getting resurrected here. So I was just in heaven. And now I'm back on this earth. I was just in the presence of the Most High. Walking in the city. I was just in total peace. Now I'm back on the earth. That would be cruel. Yeah, I let you taste it for a second, and now you got to go back there because that's where you live at. You just visiting here. Let's hear what the scriptures are saying to us. Okay. Psalms 6, the book of Psalms, chapter 6. The book of Psalms, chapter 6. And let's get verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. A psalm of David. O Yah, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Yah, for I am weak. O Yah, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Yah, how long? Return, O Yah, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with groaning. I'm tired of groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. it waxed old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Yah has heard the voice of my weeping. Yah has heard my supplication. Yah will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. David is crying out to the Most High because he knows that when death comes, there's no remembrance of the Most High. There's no remembrance of anything. There's no giving thanks to the Most High. All of his enemies in life, they vex him. The thought of death vexes him. The fact that his time is going to come to an end. There's going to be a day I close my eyes finally for final, and I'm not going to wake up. That's why he says, I swim in my bed, in my tears. I'm troubled. I'm having nightmares. So have mercy on me, O Yah, and deliver my soul. Let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 19. The book of Job, chapter 19. And we're going to get verses 25 through 27. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Now, this is the thoughts and the understanding of our forefathers, okay, and the men that the Most High dealt with. They're looking for a deliverance from this death because death was never intended to be part of this creation. This creation, the earth, was created to be eternal. There's not supposed to be any death. But then when man sinned, death entered in. And this event called death was an ending to our existence in this environment. In this space. This was all the life that he ever intended for us to know. For eternity, I created the earth and this environment for you. This is where I intended for you to be. And I'm going to make you my sons and my daughters. You were supposed to be that from the beginning, but then you were disobedient. And I couldn't take you as my sons and daughters in your disobedience because I don't just whip you. I destroy you. I get rid of those things that are not pleasing to me. And you being my child being not pleasing to me, I couldn't have you hanging around. Job 19, verses 20, starting in verse 25. For I know that not that my Redeemer, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My Redeemer liveth and shall stand on the earth in the latter days. He's coming here. He didn't say, I know my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand in the heavens. And I shall be with him. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth here where I'm at. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see Elohim. Job is telling us, this is beautiful. I know that I'm going to that grave. And I know the worms are going to consume my flesh. But I also know that in my flesh, I'm going to see the Most High. He's telling us that there's going to be an event that happens that even though the worms ate me up, the Most High is going to give me back my flesh, and I'm going to see him in this same flesh. It's going to be a flesh, it's going to be changed so that what, I don't die. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So I know that this body is going to be consumed. And I know that it's going to go to the grave and it's going to rot out. Yet I know that I'm still going to see the Most High in this same flesh and not another. The Most High is going to change it, but I'm going to see him in this flesh. And his flesh is going to become what the Most High intended for it to become, a body that pleases him. And it may not look like, you know, I may not look like this because I'm going to be expressed. I'm in seed form right now, but I'm going to be expressed. The seed doesn't look like the expression of itself in when it's grown. An apple seed doesn't look like an apple tree. The seed is the condensed form of the tree. The tree is the express form of the seed. So we're going to die. We're going to go into the grave. This flesh is going to rot away. The Most High says, I'm going to reconstitute that flesh and I'm going to allow it to express, come out in express form. Still your same flesh. And you're going to see me. Now, we know we're going to see him because we're going to be like him. I'm going to take that same flesh and convert it. We'll read that in other places. So this, for me, this verse is just so beautiful, these three verses. I know that the worms are going to eat this body, but I know I'm still going to see the Most High in my flesh, not somebody else's flesh, not another flesh. This flesh is going to be brought back, but it's going to be changed. It's going to be given eternal life, and it's going to be allowed to express the way the Most High intended for us to be, to look. Because we don't know half of the things, because we were, you know, Adam and Eve weren't on this earth. They were on this earth for less than 110 years before they sinned. They never got to express, to come out in express form. They never got to grow up and mature in the way that the Most High intended for mankind to grow up and mature. It may be, very well be, and this is not the Most High, this is Brother Miles speaking right now, but it may very well be that it takes us over 1,000 years before our bodies mature and then we change. Just like you have certain plants or animals, let's say like a caterpillar. It comes out and it's in caterpillar form and it goes about its life and it eats and it does whatever, and then there comes a time where it must go through a change. This is why the scriptures say, until my change comes, this is what I'll do. And so we don't know what that time frame is for man. Because man never lived a complete day in the eyes of the Most High, one complete day on the earth. One day. Nobody has lived 1,000 years. in this flesh, on this earth. So we may not even be able to imagine what's going to happen if we reach one day or 2 days or whatever the time frame the Most High has set. That we would, our bodies would then express themselves. Just like we went from a baby to a toddler to a teenager to what we would call a grown person, the changes our body went through. How do we know there's not another change that we were supposed to go through? And not, oh, if we're not, if death brings on old age and there was no old age, we weren't supposed to grow old. How do we know there wasn't another change that our body was supposed to go through? That we metamorphosed into something else. We don't know. We assume that this is it. And so we, because this is all that we know, we hope that, you know, we come back as a younger, better version of ourselves when we were in our, you know, our peak health, had no pain, felt like we, you know, were immortal, you know, we couldn't die. We knew it was there, but, you know, we didn't fear it. We hope we come back at a better version of ourselves, but we don't know if we were have another change that we were supposed to go through. Because we didn't live long enough. And the Most High says, before I let you metamorphose into your eternal body, into your expressed eternal body, I can't let you do that in sin. Cannot allow it. So we don't know. And my spirit is just cited in my spirit. Because, you know, that scripture, until our change comes. And we assume that that's from mortality into immortality. And I think that's part of it. But I think there's also something else that we have just never considered. As we went from a baby to the toddler to the teenager to the now old person, that we would have went from the baby to the toddler to the teenager to a mature us, and then there would have been a change that came. And we would turn into something else. What that something else is, only the Most High knows. Our expressed forms. Okay? But it's still us. We just transformed. And I think that's what Job is talking about. It's a hint of, this body is going to get consumed. But yet, in this same flesh, I'm going to still see the Most High. He's going to resurrect me and bring me back. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's start in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And the word of Yah came unto me again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith Yah, you shall not have an occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all the souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful, and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a minstrous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, has covered the naked with a garment, he that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments, because see, Israel will say, we keep his statutes, laws, his commandments, and his statutes, laws, and commandments. We don't say anything about his judgments. And has kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith Yah Elohim. So this is not dependent upon what your father did or your mother did. Most I says, you won't be able to use this proverb anymore. You won't be able to say that, you know, I told you that I punished even those down to the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. He says, but I'm going to be looking at every man and every woman and every child. And it's their works, individual works, that I'm going to be looking at. So if your father sinned under Torah, under the old system, his children would be cursed. Even until the third and fourth generation, until the tenth generation in some instances. He says, now you won't be able to use that proverb anymore. That's why I tell people when we talk about generational curses, each generation has to come to repentance to the Most High. Each generation has to hear. And if your father did something or your mother did something that caused a curse to come on the family, the Most High will cause the gospel to come to you. And you individually have to accept and do. And that stops that generational curse. But if you take on the ways of your father or your mother, then that curse will continue in your family. So each individual, Most High says, every soul belongs to me. So if you do the things that I ask for you to do, I don't care what your father or your mother did. I don't care what your grandfather or your grandmother did. If you have been seeking me, if I've unctioned you and you have been seeking me, and you have faith enough to believe, and believe what it is that you're hearing, and I give you the ability to hear it because your heart is right, and then you do those things that I'm asking you to do, then you shall live, regardless of what your forefathers did. The problem with Israel, and the problem with most men, is that we do what our fathers and our mothers did because that's what we were taught. We acted in the way that they acted because that's what we were taught. That's what was transmitted to us. And then, for those that said, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And I know you're my mother, or I know you're my father, but something ain't right. You shouldn't be getting drunk every day and spending the rent money, chasing women, leaving us to go hungry, without clothes or without shoes. You should be out there chasing all those men, laying with them to pay the rent, having babies by these different men. And then saying that you got a good heart and that you're righteous. Something's wrong. If we question that and we seek out the Most High, he says, then you learn of my judgments. You learn of my statutes. You learn of my commandments. And then you do them. Then you shall live. Because your parents bit down on a sour grape and that's where they wanted to stay, I'm no longer going to put that on the child unless the child chooses to stay where the parents are. I will give the children, an opportunity to hear the truth. And if they choose to do the truth, then they shall live. And I will resurrect them to life. But we got to understand that all men, men, women, children, belong to the Most High. And he says, no longer, where I told you that I hate those that hate me, even their children, down to the third and fourth generations. He says, I'm no longer going to, you won't be able to no longer use that proverb. Every soul that seeks me out, that is willing to obey my voice and harden not their hearts, but to do my will, to do my commandments, feed the hungry, don't loan somebody money and charge them interest of your brothers and your sisters. Do what I say to do. Live your life the way that I say to live it, and you shall live. So I pray we can hear this and understand it, and that we would do it, and that we understand that the generational curse stops with you. If you have accepted the Most High, because under the old ways, it didn't matter. You could have accepted the Most High and said, hey, wait a minute, you're in the second generation. Because of what your fathers did, you're cursed, and you can't come out from under it. I'm not even trying to hear you. He says, but I'm doing away with that, and I'm doing away, you can't use that proverb anymore. I still hate those that hate me. But it's each generation. Each generation. So what your fathers did, Israel, by disobeying the Most High and got you scattered, you want a different relationship with the Most High, then come correctly with him. Come correctly to him. Stop worrying about what your fathers did. Know that what they did got you where you're at. That means you got to stay there. That's why I say we get so caught up in who we are that we don't realize that, hey, we can still come up under the blessings. Our problem is that we're not doing it as a people. We're doing it individually, but as a people, most of our people are still in what? Error. Most of our people are still up under the curses because they still don't want to listen to the Most High. They want to do what they want to do. And don't want to come back to him with their whole heart. And this is who he's looking for. Go to the book of Isaiah. Well, no, let's finish this. Go to verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 10. If he begat a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties. So you got a son, he's went out and shed blood, and he hasn't done any of the things that the Most High has said to do, but even has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. In other words, he's responsible for himself. Same way with a daughter who would go out and play the harlot. Because, you know, that's what society is saying is okay to do today. It's all right if you sleep with a man and you're not married to him. Son, it's all right if you sleep with a woman and you're not married to her. It's all right if you don't love your brothers and your sisters. It's all right if somebody loans you money They loan you 10, you want 15 back. That's all right. It's all right if you see somebody homeless and helpless and you don't help them. They must have did something bad to get into that condition. You can worship whatever you want to worship. Can't nobody tell you what to worship. You want to worship Buddha? If that's what you feel fine with, go ahead and worship Buddha. If you want to worship Hindi, go ahead and worship Hindi. That's fine. You want to worship Satan? Okay, go ahead. You're free to do whatever you want to do. That's the mentality of the world today. It's your thing. Your life is your thing. Do what you want to do. You want to go out and rob somebody? As long as you're willing to pay the price, the consequences, that's on you. The Most High says, you shall not live, but die. That's each individual. Your parents could be good. They could be doing all the things that the Most High said to do, and the child chooses to do wrong. Because that child shall suffer. The father could be bad and be choosing to do all these things that the Most High said don't do. Don't believe in the Most High. Don't take care of business. You know, out here worshiping other gods, chasing the booty, doing everything, sleeping with, you know, his next door neighbor's wife, waiting for him to leave to go to work. He's sliding over there because she ain't about it either. And all these things, the father could be doing it. He said the father of those, and he's got children, the father of those children will suffer for his sins, not his children. Problem is that that father or that mother, the people who see you as you really are your children, the people who see you the way that you've been, because you can't fake it all the time. You can't be somebody else all the time. And with your own children, you typically are yourself. And so they see you for who you don't let anybody else see you. And they say some things. They know some things. But then they got to know, hey, that if what you're doing is wrong, they can't choose to do that. They cannot choose to do that. And so sometimes we can be evil and we still have a belief in the Most High and we still, you know, feel like we're fairly decent people and we want our children to be decent people. But that's the Most High introducing himself to your children. Because if you know of him and you're still doing wickedness, then you can't really teach your children anything, but you can introduce them to the Most High. And he can have a different effect on them. So he says, if you do these things, if you begat a child and they do wickedness, then they shall die. Regardless of what you do. And if you begat a child and they do good, they shall live. Regardless of what you do, is what the Most High is saying now. Verse 14. Now, lo, if he beget a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, and considers and does not such like. Don't try to, that he sees what his father's doing and he ain't trying to be like his father. That has not eaten upon the mountain. Neither has lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, and has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury for nor increase, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet, say you, why? Does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. That's why I'm telling you know, you sisters and stuff, got to get away from that generational curse stuff. Understand that it stops with you. Okay? It's each individual, each child has to come into the knowledge of the truth about what's going on. And if that child is taking on the ways of their parents, and that is how they have been led to believe and to see it, they will do exactly what the parent is doing. They will have that standard. But if they consider those things and don't, and you know, and come out of them and don't sin, then the Most High says, because your parents were evil and wicked, don't mean that you have to be. And don't mean that you, that the curse falls on you. Okay, you shall live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and is right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That if he repents all his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith Yah Elohim, not that he should return from his ways and live. The Most High says, I don't have any pleasure in the wicked that he should die, but I can get pleasure in those that repent and return from their ways and live, but also not from those that kind of halfway do it. I know I'm kind of halfway bad. I know I'm working on it. So today when you realize that you're bad, you need to turn away from it totally. You need to be convinced in your heart that, you know, I've been going the wrong way. And I need to learn what's right and do what's right. But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. Just like the person who was a sinner, when they repent from their sin, they turn totally away from it, none of their unrighteousness shall be mentioned. When the righteous turns from his righteous ways to do wickedness, none of his righteousness shall be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. So I do a little bit of good. I do some righteousness and I do some wicked. He said, you're going to die in your wickedness. You're going to die in your sin. Don't matter how much good you're doing, the wickedness that you're doing will cause you to die. Will cause you to go to the lake for what you have done. Oh, but I feed the hungry and I clothe the naked and I don't lend people money for whatever. But then you're doing something over here. You're sleeping with your neighbor's husband or with your neighbor's wife. You are oppressing somebody. So you're doing some good, you're doing some bad. He says, you're going to die for the bad that you're doing. You're going to die. What does he say? In his trespass that he has trespassed, whatever that is, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. So you can't be part good and part bad. The wicked person that repents has to totally repent. Can't stay part in part of his wickedness and in part and do part good and part bad. And the righteous man can't turn out of his righteousness and do part good and part bad. He says, because I'm going to judge you and you're going to pay the price for however you have trespassed. And whatever that trespass is, you're going to die for it. Can we hear the Most High? Don't matter what your parents did. You're responsible for what you do. And if you know that you got some wickedness in you, you're trying to do good, but you got some wickedness that you've been doing, that's what you're going to die for. But Most High, I believe in Messiah. Most High, I keep your dietary laws. Yeah, I lie every now and again, but all liars, you're going to die for those lies. Understand what he's saying. Because people feel like, hey, I'm a work in progress. Understand, if you die as a work in progress, you're going to get judged for all your transgressions. He said, because your righteousness, none of the righteousness that you have done will be remembered. He's not going to remember it. Let's read that again, so that we don't come at this half-assed, because that'll get you in the lake. Verse 24, but when the righteous shall turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. All the good that you do for people will not be mentioned. What's going to be mentioned are your trespasses. Do we hear the Most High? That wicked person that was doing wickedness turned totally away from doing wickedness and turned totally toward doing good in the eyes of the Most High, doing all that he said to do. He says, none of his wickedness shall be mentioned. Only the good that he does after that point. Because they repented. So we want to, you know, the world is teaching us that, you know, the Most High will forgive us for our unrighteousness. You can come to him one time with that. And then whatever you're doing ignorantly, he says, hey, I'm not going to charge you with what you're doing ignorantly. But if you're doing any type of unrighteousness, all of your righteousness is wiped out. You were a righteous person. Now you're not doing righteousness. You are a sinner. I will not remember your righteousness anymore. What I'm going to remember is your trespasses. And what did he say? In them shall he die. I'm going to kill you for your trespasses. You knew to do good, but you didn't do it. You knew that what you were doing wrong was wrong, but you did it. Still trying to do part good and part wrong. All of the good that you did, I forget it. Because in your heart, you knew what was right and you chose to do wrong. You knew that you shouldn't do that thing, but you did it anyway. And then you died. Physically, but now I'm going to kill you again. I'm going to raise you up and kill you again by giving you eternal life and throwing you in that lake for your trespass. Because none of the righteousness you did am I going to remember. So once you are doing right, you need to stay doing right. Always. Don't fool yourself to thinking that you can do, you know what, I got a little bit of wickedness in me. I don't do everything perfectly. I still do some bad things. Don't think that the Most High is seeing any of your good, because he's saying, I don't see it. I forget it. And I'm now judging you by your trespasses. I pray we can hear this. When you are righteous, you have to stay righteous. When you become righteous, you have to stay righteous. Can't say, oh, well, you know, I help out these people. This is what I do. Most I says, but what about this over here? Because all that stuff that you just mentioned, because of what you just did right here, the stuff you're doing right here, I don't even remember what you did good. I pray that the saints can hear this. Put away all your wickedness, all of it. Because anything good that you're doing, if you're still doing some wickedness, the Most High, you just read it. All of your wicked, all of your righteousness that you have done shall not be mentioned. Don't even bring it up. But Most High, shut up. But didn't I tell you to shut up? Gag them. I don't even want to hear what they got to say. Because we want to justify ourselves. We want to justify ourselves. And the Most High is saying, we got to believe what we read. If you were doing wickedness and you turn from your wickedness and all you do is good now and righteousness, the Most High says, I won't remember any of your wickedness. It will not be mentioned. And you shall live. Because you got it. You turned the corner and you got it. Not going to remember none of the evil stuff that you did. But if you don't turn the corner completely, if you hold on to any of that foolishness, I'm not remembering none of the good that you've been doing either. I'm going to remember the wicked things that you do. And I'm going to judge you for those. And if you righteous, if you were living righteously and then you start doing wickedness, everything you did righteous, none of it's going to be mentioned. None of it. Well, Most High, for 50 years, I did right. And? Well, I just got caught up. I got tired of seeing the wicked get blessed. And I was going without. Well, that's what you're going to get judged on. All that righteousness you did, don't even mention it. Don't even bring it up. You shall surely die in your unrighteousness, in your trespass. So, you know, thanks for reading this. I want us to understand, hear and understand. Walk away from all wickedness, period. Because any wickedness that you do, the Most High says, it cancels out your righteousness. Cancels it out. I don't care how good you think you are. It cancels it out. It won't even be mentioned. And that wicked person that truly repents and turns away from their wickedness to keep the ways of the Most High, says none of their wickedness will be remembered. So they had it wrong from the beginning, but they got it right. You had it right from the beginning and then got it wrong. They're going to pass the test and you're going to fail. I pray we can hear what he's saying. Because these are the things that are going to determine when we're resurrected where we're going to ultimately end up at. So let me say this again and we'll move on. This is for broadcast sake, for learning sake, for conviction sake. If you have not been walking in the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High, repent. Turn from your wicked ways and walk 100% in the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High. Read this Ezekiel 18 and do those things. And do them from now until the time that you leave this earth or Messiah returns. If you have been saying that you're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and not his judgments, then none of the keeping of the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High have done you any good. Because the stuff that you haven't been doing, he said that's what you're going to be judged for. None of the good things that you have been doing will be remembered. He won't remember them. So whatever it is that you lack in doing, keeping his judgments, doing those things, whatever it is that you lack, start doing them. Then shall you live. Don't turn, and if you've been living a good life, a righteous life, don't let temptation overtake you now. Because your whole life will be have been thrown away. Your whole life would have been thrown away because you chose a moment of indiscretion. You chose to do wickedness. He says that's what you're going to be judged in. And none of the good your whole life that you live a good life will be remembered. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. Hear our prayers. Hear our supplication to you, Father. If there be any among us who are doing wickedness, any type of wickedness, Father, let them understand that it cancels out all of their righteousness. Their righteousness counts for nothing. Because in your eyes, they are wicked. No matter how much good they have done, no matter who they've helped, if they're doing any unrighteousness, it cancels out their righteousness, all of their righteousness. And if there be anybody, Father, that is listening, that has lived a wicked life, it has not done those things that you have said to do, and they repent of their wickedness, and they turn toward you with their whole heart, as you have said, all of their wickedness shall be forgotten. And they shall live for the righteousness that they do, that they came to understand that they must do, that they walk in. Help us in whatever camp we are in, Father. Help us to not cancel out our good in your eyes. Give us a mind and a heart to walk before you in righteousness, that we might be resurrected to life and not to contempt. That we don't misunderstand and think that we can halfway do this thing and it's acceptable with you. Because you have told us. We can't be charged with the sins of our forefathers. We are responsible for how we live. Even if we are scattered amongst the nations, we must do what you say to do. Live by your statutes, your laws, your commandments, and your judgments. And if we are halfway doing it, then we have failed. If we are not serving you with our whole heart, then we have failed. If you're not the most precious thing in our lives and evident by our actions, then we have failed. And all of our righteousness shall not be mentioned. Give us a mind and a heart, Father, the right mind and the right heart, the willpower to walk in all your ways. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. We will continue in this because we have just been looking at what our forefathers' understanding should have been. They didn't have an understanding of when you go in the grave, you visiting with the Most High. And if you've been a good person, you are in the kingdom of heaven with him. You got accepted into those pearly gates. Didn't exist, not in the scriptures anywhere. The dead know nothing. You're supposed to go to sleep. You definitely didn't go into the heavens. You didn't go into the hells either. You didn't go into a hell burning with fire. But you went to sleep. And that's where everybody's supposed to be, asleep. You're not praising the Most High anymore. You're not worshiping him anymore. Your mouth, your lips, they rotted away. You don't know nothing. Until the Most High reconstitutes you, you don't know anything. This is what he's telling us. And so when he resurrects us, we'll read on that on this evening. What does the scripture say? What does Messiah say concerning this? But I think out of this morning, what you should walk away with is, if I'm doing any wickedness at all, everything good that I do is wiped out. It's wiped out. And the Most High is only seeing the wickedness that I do. He's not seeing the good that I do. He says it's not going to be mentioned. I don't care how much good you've done. I'm not mentioning it. I'm not bringing it up. What I'm bringing up is your trespass. Because we think that him being justice, he will say, oh, you did more good than you did bad. We think that the scale is got to balance out. Or the scale has to come up more on the heavy side of good than bad. But what did he just tell you? Any bad that you do outweighs the good. Because I'm not even going to mention your good, your righteousness. I'm only going to look at your trespass. If that's not incentive with that understanding, if that's not incentive to keep you on the good side, I don't know what it is. Because the other understanding is, it's a lie. Most I said, I don't care how much good you did. You start doing wickedness, that's what I'm going to look at. And I'm going to forget all the good you did. I'm going to turn on you. And I'm only going to see the wickedness that you've done. And if you've been wicked, when my eyes were turned and my back was turned on you and I wasn't with you and you came to the truth and you repented and you start keeping my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, and my judgments, then I'm going to forget all the wickedness that you've done. I'm not even going to mention it. Can we hear the Most High? Can we hear it? The word that he's saying to us. Choose life. Always do good. Do no wickedness. If you find out that you're doing something that's a transgression that you didn't know, repent of it. And I will still accept you. But I got a problem if you know you're doing wrong. There's a problem there. And I'm serious. There's a big problem there. And you know you're doing wrong. He said, all of your righteousness is wiped out. Believe that. So with the Most High, you're either in or you're out. There ain't no in between. You either choose life by doing good all the time, or you choose death by doing some wickedness and staying there, justifying yourself. Oh, the Most High, you know what people say, the Most High knows my heart. The Most High gonna say, I know what you did. That was what was in your heart. So I pray that we can hear this, that we walk away from sin all the way around, because that sin will cause all of your good to be canceled out. But Most High not going to say, oh, you were 95% good, 5% bad. That 5% bad gets you to the lake, gets you kept out of the kingdom, gets you denied the kingdom. Oh, you were 99% good, 1% bad. That 1% will keep you out of the kingdom. Oh, you were 99.5% good. That 0.5% will keep you out of the kingdom. He's not playing. And everything that we read, the more I read it, the more this thing, this understanding, now, what we've been taught has just been a total farce, a total lie. So I pray that we don't cancel out all the good that we've done, because there's something that we don't want to let go of. There's something that we do that we just don't want to let go of it. And we think that the Most High just has to understand. He's telling us clearly. This is my understanding. All that good you did, don't mean nothing. Don't mean a thing, because you chose to do some wickedness. So all that other stuff don't mean a daggone thing. take hold of that. Understand that. Don't put your salvation in jeopardy because you want to be stiff-necked and hard-hearted, because you don't want to let go of something you know you ought to let go of, but you won't let go of it, thinking that the Most High is going to be merciful, that he's going to be kind, that he's going to be gracious towards you, that he's not going to impute your sin against you. We don't know how blessed David was, because David knew he's supposed to die. And we want to all be David. The Most High says, you ain't all David. And I'm telling you by what I'm judging. And I don't have misbalanced scales. You do bad, it weighs the scale down, no matter how much good you've done. You do wickedness, it weighs the scale down in wickedness sake, in wickedness favor. Death. This is what he's saying. You do wickedness, I don't care if you got a ton of righteousness. If you don't totally repent and stay away from the wickedness, that little bit of wickedness will outweigh that righteousness. If that's where you're at when I get to you. And on the flip side of that, if you were wicked and you repent and you turn away from it, the little bit of righteousness that you do will outweigh all that wickedness. Because in the end, you're righteous. What matters is how you are in the end. But just understand, a little bit of wickedness will outweigh all the righteousness. So you don't want to fall because you don't know. You could fall right now, go to sleep and not wake up. Have a heart attack. An aneurysm. Whatever. And you died in that wickedness, in that one little wicked act, is what you're going to get judged on. So that's hard to accept. It's hard to believe. You don't want to take that chance. None of us should want to take that chance. Do good. Do right. Because tomorrow is not promised to you. The rest of this day ain't promised to any of us. May the Most High bless you. May he encounter his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. The world and the universe.
And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about